بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Hazrat Muhammad Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had come to Delhi once, and he had heard that some friend of his was around. He had some business with that friend, so he thought, let me go and pay him a visit, got some work with him. Upon meeting him, he realized that the friend had come to attend an Urus. We have Urus in Abyarbi Sharif. So the friend had come to attend that Urus. Now the Urus comes from the word of a hadith, Nam kanomatil arus, sleep like how a bride would sleep. That you don't inconvenience the bride for the smallest thing. Nothing. You don't tell her to do anything. Just want to make her feel happy and lead her to her apartment. That's what everybody will look forward to. So the death anniversary of a buzurg, normally they say urus, right? As though they're using this word to show that inshallah this person has died as a mu'min. So the Malaika will also tell him the same words, will compliment him with his words, Nam kanom atil arus. So, in remembrance of the saint, they would have this type of a celebration called Urus Sharif. It's possible that they started it off with good intentions. The intention may have been that that Urus, that Buzurg had passed away, right? As he passed away, so he's got a lot of muta'alliqeen, murideen, a lot of people all spread around. Now, there must be some type of a forum, an occasion to which I can invite them all. So the easiest way is to invite them with something that is going to have some type of a sentimental value. Yes. Sentimental value is his death. So now, they will attend. Now the people that may have arranged it at the beginning, they may have arranged it with good intentions. Intentions could have been that Buzurg passed away, right? So some of his people must have already completed the whole suluk. So they're good in the zahir and they're good in the batin. And things related to the zahir, they know it. Things related to the batin, they know it. So they're good internally, they're good externally. Both ways they're good. So really they don't need anything now. Some masla may come about, they can make tahqeeq about it. But overall, they have got the zahir right, they got their batin right. Heart is right. They got the necessary sifat of a mu'min, tawazu. They got ikhlas, they got shukr, they got sabr, they got all the good qualities that are required of a mu'min, they've got it. The same on the zahir, that they are doing what they are required to do, all the obligations are being fulfilled. But then there will be those that are still climbing up the ladder. Midway, this buzurg had passed away. Now how they must complete? There will be those that are starting, beginners. So one group is in the center, one group is right at the beginning, and one group has reached, wasil, right? So these that are left in the center, and those that are still starting off the journey, now how they must join up? So this senior khulafa must have arranged this type of a gathering, so that it's an occasion now to teach you all. Right? Once in the year we'll get all of you all, like how you have an istima, all workers, jor, all that, to put you back online. So I'll listen to the kalguzari this side. If they go off, then put them on track. If they own, then compliment them, support them. If they want to know certain masail, so some muridin, some khulafa are experts in that, so they can refer. You can imagine now things 500-600 years ago, where there wasn't this type of communication and this type of transport available. Now, when the communication is not there, transport is not available there, then how could they have acquired this? So this word Urus was just a name, but really it was like an ishtima. Ishtima for what? To get all these people and put them back on course. So the starting had been right, but then after the Buzurg had passed away, and after some times, then the rituals remain, and the essence of it died. Let us call it a death anniversary, and Urus, but after that what was intended, that intention was all collapsed. Now, there will be gathering, so there will be feeding, there will be some music and qawwali going on, some song carrying on, and it's a death anniversary of the Buzurg. So what was intended, that has been forgotten, deleted, and the glamour and the splendor is all shown, right? So that's what happens with most groups, right? That if they are not checked on in time, then the looks of it, the glamour of it, the outer of it, that remains. But the inside has all collapsed, it's eroded, it's rotten, there's nothing in it now. So then you have that group, so no, my father did it, my grandfather did it, I must do it. But what was the aim, what was the objective, he doesn't understand. So this is what happens with a lot of traditions, right? A lot of customs. It just happens because they saw the ancestry doing it, and because we saw them doing it, therefore this has happened. Now, before we continue, you see, in Bukhari Sharif, there is one hadith, Malik ibn Huwairis, radiallahu anhu, he says, we came as youngsters to Medina, shababatun mutaqaribun, all youngsters, similar age. We stayed around for 20 days. As we stayed here in Medina Munawwara for 20 days, Nabi Sam realized, Zanna anna qad ishtahayna ahlina. He understood that ghar yaad aavi gelo che rai. Bedi, poira, wife, children, youngsters now. So a Nabi, who can be more understanding than a Nabi? Who can be more gentle than a Nabi? He is understanding also, and he is gentle as well. Kana raqeekan, the same hadith says, and he was very soft hearted. It's alright, stay 20 days, and okay, ghar yaad aavi gelo che rai. Thinking of the wives and the children, all of things happening in their minds. So when you realize that we are, our minds are that size, it's all right, go. See, this is a point that we're taking it lightly, but every word of Nabi Sassan is a lesson. Inna Allaha la yu'ti bil rifq ma la yu'ti bil unf. When you have a soft and a gentle approach, you get much more than having a harsh and an aggressive approach. Like you will see in a his class, Mari Chundi ne Musliman banaya, right? They whack the child, make him half a somehow. Somehow they must get him right. And then the Ustad thinks, no, I achieved, make a jalsa, I achieved, right? So he wants to do that, he wants to achieve it in short time and get him out. The production line must carry on. You just finish second one, third one. The more important thing is, has he have a real love for the Quran, real love for deen, real love for the sunnah, real love to try and understand what is the message of Allah Ta'ala? Has he acquired that? So if the Ustad's approach was slightly different, then he would have achieved both. He would have completed the hifz, and the child would have loved Allah Ta'ala. He would have loved the Quran, loved the hadith, love the Sahaba Kiram, right? He wanted to live and love and die as a Muslim. So this would have happened if it was a little bit of a process. But he was a little bit gentle, kind, person saw you, understands you, you understand him, he is your gentleness, he sees your kindness, he sees how polite you are, and then something just stirs him up. It just shakes him up. It may be a small act of kindness. One person was telling me that he had needed to have an eye operation. So there's some Bangladeshi doctor, Dr. Chaudhary, he's an eye specialist, so he went up. So as he went up, so that person says, you know, I really, if it's someone that I respect and love, it's Chota Mota. So now it made him a little curious, hey, what happened now, Chota Mota and this doctor here, and how he got to know Chota Mota, whatever. So he says, I went there for an eye operation, and the doctor, for some reason or the other, he offered Chota Mota some juice. So Chota Mota says to the doctor, well, you drink first, and from that point that you sipped and you drank, I will drink from the same point. So now the man doesn't know me for a vow of soap. And normally we doctors, we are so careful about pollution and whatever else. But this man has got such a liking and respect for me that he insists that I drink, that he will drink from the same point that I have drunk from. So you see, the man has passed away. This happened over 10, 15 years ago. But I can't delete his memory of my mind. But what love and what politeness he showed me. So now, this Quran, etc., requires that we show politeness, love, understanding. The child, it will take him time to come up. He'll come up online, but he'll understand, no, this is a Quran, I need to love it. I need to live it, right? I need to respect it. And my tutors, they have done this with a lot of love and care for me. So in respect for them, in consideration for them, I need to continue with the same thing. Now you produce something else. As though you have made a person, you have made a factory. He's going to produce, he's going to continue. But now this takes a little bit of time. Attention, understanding, consideration, love. All that goes into the play. Then you find something else. Otherwise, finally, this year 20, we produce, the next year 50 and 100. And then where are they? One half is up, he didn't give his name, but he phoned up in the course of the week. So he says, I did my very good Hafiz, and I can't disclose my name because perhaps you may know me, and I can't show you my name, but I've fallen very badly. Namaz is gone, I've forgotten the Quran Sharif. Maybe with difficulty, I would have to learn one ruku at a time. Namaz are gone, everything is gone, gone into drugs. So now this person has gone, alright, that realizing has struck him, perhaps approach of Ramadan or some bayan that he must have heard, and it has struck him. But now, in the process of teaching the child, if we had shown some consideration, love, whether it was a parent, whether it was a father, whether it was his tutors, whether it was whoever, but they did this, man, inshallah, by the will of Allah, there could have been something else. So we're getting to this. This man says that, you know, I came here to attend the Urus. And then he says to him, Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, but you know what, Mulana, you are supposed to be attending the Urus, because you are a Chishti, we are Chishtis, and you are the right candidate, you know, because you are a Buzurg, you are a saintly person, you are a true representative of our Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Ali. So you are supposed to be attending this, you know. He doesn't know Mulana's stance. So Mulana says to him, you know, I think personally, if I'm going to attend this Urus, I'm going to be doing a disservice to Khaja Sahib, Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. I'll be a disservice to him. I'll bring some pain and discomfort to him. So how can you say such a thing, that you will bring discomfort? You know, if you will bring discomfort, then there's nobody that can be celebrating here. Because in our silsila, we don't find a person that's ranking at your level. And you saying you've caused discomfort, that nobody is eligible to be standing here. But what makes you say that, you know, you'll bring discomfort to him? So he says, you see, I'll bring discomfort to him because Nizamuddin, this was, I'm sure, I said Mu'inuddin, this was Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Alayh. So in this Urus, you're going to be having some Sima Qawali, right? And in the Simak Qawali, right, although Nizamuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayh was qail about it, he used to do it, right? But he had laid down certain conditions for the person being eligible. Now, see, you know, I say I'm eligible, I'm supposed to be doing it because Nizamuddin did it. But I don't look at the conditions. Like you say, you know, I have to perform namaz. I said, yes, you do perform namaz, but for the validity of the namaz, there are certain conditions. You need to be parked, you have wuzu, the place needs to be parked, your clothing needs to be parked. Now you're in the wuzu, you're in the ghusl, straight away you jump into the musalla, what do you say? So on. So get the conditions right, and then you go and do it, then it's a different thing, but you're not complying, you're not conforming. So he says, now, Nizamuddin Uliya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has laid down four conditions. For one being eligible to participate in this type of a Sima Qawali. The first is this, that the one that is rendering that Nazam or that song or that Naat, the one that is rendering it, he must be a man, can't be a youngster, a young boy with girlish features, and can't be a woman. I know we were passing through somewhere in India, and as we were leaving the place, we were seeing in the Qabristan some rehearsal going on. We could hear, but we didn't see, right? But you can see clearly it was a woman. And the woman was being prepared for a Qawwali show. Right at the Mazar Nash, they're preparing her to sing and all that, right? So, because we don't know what's going on, therefore if you know the Qawwali, only a man is singing. A man can be singing, a woman can be singing. So, the one that is singing and entertaining the audience, one is he must be a man without girlish features. Number two, it can't be a woman. That's the first condition. The second condition is it mustn't be accompanied with any type of musical instruments. Who is explaining? The more time is out, is explaining this person here. The third is this, that the audience must be Allah wala. It mustn't be all loose people hanging around here, there, and all this came for the Qawwali. Coming on the BMs and the Mercedes and the Ferraris. Came for the jol, came for what? For a nice celebration. They didn't come for that. You're all Allah wala. You can see from the behavior, the ways, etc. You're all Allah wala. They're not ordinary type persons. So the people that have come, they've come for a valid reason. Right people for the right occasion. That's the third. Right. Number four, what they're rendering must also be right. Because we're speaking about Allah Ta'ala, His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Qiyamah, Jannah, Jahannam, Deen, they must be speaking about. They want to speak about wine and women, etc. They want to be doing all these things here. So Mawlana says to this person here, that I feel afraid that I don't qualify. There's conditions that have been laid out, Allah wala, etc. So I perhaps I don't qualify. And if I don't qualify, and I'm going to participate in that Urus or that Qawwali, perhaps I'll bring some discomfort to the Buzurg. Therefore, I'm sorry, I can't participate. So anyway, he heard this, and he says, you know what, Hazrat, it's possible that we don't qualify, but you definitely qualify. And the second thing he said, but you know, aaj tak hame kisi ne is tarah se nahi samjhaya. It was wrong and all that, but nobody came and took the time and explained it to us like how you explained it today. Now we understand, all right, what's the wrong in it, what's the problem in it. But prior to this, we didn't understand what it was all about. We just thought it's a traditional thing everybody is doing. And, you know, the feelings are going very high. They're going very high. Sentiments are just, emotions are just flying. So, obviously at the Qawwali, when the guitar is going, and the instruments are going, and the person is singing at the pitch, so he must fly. He's going to fly. You can't be, he's singing so high, and you still remain at the same level. Now when you're flying, you think, hey, I'm escalating, I'm going very high. So that flying doesn't mean that you've escalated. That flying doesn't mean the emotions raised high. It doesn't mean that you have been elevated. Because the feeling itself, it's not the criteria. This is where lots of people go wrong. In Suluk, hundreds of people, ulama, everybody goes wrong. You know, the feelings are dead here. So the gauge becomes the feeling, the gauge becomes the sentiments, the gauge becomes the sensation. And when you don't see the sensation, you don't see the feeling, you don't see the inspiration, then everything in you just collapses, dies, you know, nothing, you know. My iman is gone weak. But who told you iman gone weak? That feeling is not the gauge. That feeling could be there for multiple reasons. It could be perhaps you're going to a bout of illness. It could be an examination of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One saintly person, is going on the safar of Hajj. Right? And whilst he's engaged in tahajjud, repeatedly a sound is coming, do as you please, but you're going to Jahannam, first class. You're going to be dying as a kafir. You can do what you want. Strive, cry, die, do whatever, but you're going first class Jahannam ticket. Carried on, the youngster that was accompanying him, one day he heard this same sound, he heard the voice. The voice is directed at this buzurg, do as you please, but you're dying as a Jahannami, you're a kafir. And the old man is listening to the voice and he's carrying on his work. So the youngster advises the old man, wake up now, you know, you're hearing his voice, how many times you hear this? I'm long time hearing this. But go and rest, go and relax, like you're hearing this voice here and you're carrying on, continuing. What's the need for you to sacrifice like this when you are decreed for Jahannam? What's the need? Go and enjoy for the rest of your life. Enjoy, relax, sleep, eat, drink, enjoy. And then you have to go that side, so go that side afterwards. So the old man says to this youngster, Jazakallah for the advice. And he says, if I leave the door of Allah Ta'ala, which door can I go and knock and plead? Is there any other door? If there was any other door, I would have left this door and gone to that door and pleaded at that door. But there is no other door. So whatever happens, I will remain at this door. Hasil ayat nami ayat. Koshisha mi kunam. Says, whether I acquire it or I don't acquire it, I will continue. I will pursue. Whatever happens, whether the whole sky, the whole heavens fall upon me, but my work is to go on trying. The feeling is not my work. Someone asked Azmat Tari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali about the sima and all that. He said, your feeling goes very high. You just jive, you know. And you know how you feel after that in namaz, you know. You're just flying. Someone asked him, alright, I want to know from you, what is the essence of tasawwuf? What is the essence? You know, in everything that you do, so there is a theme, there is an aim. So what is the aim of this effort? So he says, the aim of this effort is mujahada. Difficulty. Jod means difficulty, right? To endure difficulty for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. What is aimed at? To endure difficulty for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, right? For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, now it's namaz time, but you're enduring difficulty in making wuzu, or you need ghusl, you're making ghusl, coming to the masjid. You're on the streets and you're seeing something very enticing, very attractive. For you to turn your eyes away from that is difficult, it's like impossible, right? But just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you're enduring the difficulty, you're moving your eyes away. The music that is blasting is so nice, you know. It's so nice, he doesn't want to jive with the music. But he says, no, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I'm not paying attention. If I can help it, I'll block my ears. I won't pay any attention to it. So on the one side, there is the struggle on the nafs that do it. And you're saying, don't do it. Can you see that war that is carrying on? The nafs is saying, do it. Your mind is saying, do it. And your soul is saying, don't do it. Your mind is saying, do it. And the good in you is saying, don't do it. So isn't there a struggle? There's a struggle. So the whole aim of tasawwuf is the struggle. To go through the struggle. But not any struggle. A struggle for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. To bring about conformity to His obedience. Whatever amounts to His obedience, so you're conforming. Right? To come to the masjid, it's going to be a little bit difficult. You have friends, it's entertainment, it's a bride carrying on. And to come a little bit earlier to the masjid, it's a wedding carrying on. And the main part of that wedding is carrying now. The bride is being walked on the aisle to the stage at that time. Right? Now you see, now it's azan time. I am just going to leave this out. I'm going to go straight to the masjid. Right? Is that easy? Very difficult. Because you came for all that. All that show and tamasha you came for. And you're leaving all the show only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. You're watching the cup final, right? The cup final is coming right to the end, this last 20 minutes, and they above the goals. Just check about the goals. It's about to score the one, last one. Right? And then it will be announced that this country has won the World Cup, right? It will be announced. Just around that time now, and you know, it's about 15, 20 minutes, I still have to make wuzu, go to the masjid, and to leave all that, is that a struggle or not? Is that a struggle? Definitely. In fact, to watch these things is wrong as well. One is a struggle to leave this thing at that time. The other thing is to go to such a wedding or to such a place is also wrong. So, can you see the struggle that's within you, the fight that's within you? So the fight is what? For the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So that fight that's within you, that's called mujahada. Right? Mujahada is not just any effort. It's not just any struggle. A struggle for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for His love. To bring about conformity to His love. To bring about conformity to His obedience. That's the reason for the struggle. Otherwise, why must I go and struggle myself? If there's hot food there, and I leave it out, then that's not called mujahada. It's good, nice food prepared, and I leave that food out, that's not called mujahada. Because it doesn't amount to the disobedience of Allah. Eating nice, good food, enjoyable food, yeah, is that haram? Is that makruh? Is that makruh? Is that haram? So leaving it out is not called mujahada. Mujahada is the struggle for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. To conform to the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That's called mujahada. Just came from 4 months. Hard ride, you came, right? Just came in. Now imagine a man, 4 months, no wife, nothing. And he's about 24 years of age, right? Just came in, right? And just as he comes in, and the wife says, "It just started now, right?" Hey, signal just went up now. You know, you thought you were a groom, you're going there for the kill today. What preparations you made, what dreams you had, what dreams you had. And just at the time of the attack, and she says, you know, hey, that's called the mujahada. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you leave all these things up. That's for the sake of Allah. That's for His pleasure. That's called mujahada. Now you say, no, good food, biryani, no one eat. That's not mujahada. This is called a mujahada. You see where that mujahada will come. It's a very lucrative, very tempting business, investment. But you know, this bank, Islamic bank, they're saying, must do this, but a little bit haram will happen. A little bit of takaful, but come right afterwards. But you know, you get so much returns you get. And you can do so many charitable works afterwards with that. You know, Abai. I don't want to touch this thing here. Now that's called a mujahada. See the mujahada. That's called a mujahada. Where it's enticing, it's appealing, it's attractive. The friends are pushing you. Everything is pushing you. The wife is pushing you. The children are pushing you. Everybody is pushing you in that one direction. He said, no, I don't want to interrupt the line of love. With Allah Ta'ala, not for whatever it means. The whole world has to go one side. But the line of love with Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to interrupt it. Because if I do interrupt it, I don't know how I will link it up or how I will join up again. I don't want to interrupt this line here. Now, how pleased will Allah Ta'ala be? This brother loves me so much. He's so considerate. He's so respectful to my law. That the slightest interference, he doesn't want to take it. He knows this will interrupt the line. If you interrupt the line, I don't want to take this one. No matter what it costs. You see what I mean of mujahada? So one person says, no, I get these sensations, and I get pleasure, I jive, I jump, you know, what hal I get. So Mullah asked him, what is the very gist, the essence of tasawuf? He said, the essence of tasawuf is mujahada. So then Mullah asked him, alright, does your heart desire all this thing? All this jumping, jiving, hawa, kawali, sima, all that. Does your heart desire it or not? It definitely desires it. So then to resist that, is that the mujahada or not? This is the mujahada, that your heart is desirous to go to it, or to see for all that fun, excitement, all that, right? Now my heart is desirous of that. When it's desirous of that, I'm pulling back, I'm resisting. That resisting is called mujahada. So now, Mullah asked him, then am I on the tasawuf or are you on the tasawuf? So Mullah, I am millions of miles away. You on the soul, but aajkal koi samjhane wala nahi aata. Nobody comes and explains us these pertinent points of the soul. One person came yesterday, Mulana. So he says, you know, but this, all this wrong is happening, but you know, you do all the zikr and tilawat and all that, won't you get some assistance and support and all that? So he was trying to tell me that if he makes zikr and all that, that will stop him, that will stop him from what? From all the haram. That will stop him from going to wrong. So what you called it wrong? There wasn't a spot in the sama where shaitan did not make sajda. There wasn't a spot in the sama, in the heavens, where shaitan didn't make sajda. But then he became Iblis, Mal'un, Shaitan al-Rajim. Do you see that? If it was ibadat, that he made so much of ibadat, so much of zikr, so much of namaz, so much of sajda he made, that there wasn't a spot in the whole sama where he didn't make sajda. But then, with all that ibadat, all the zikr that he made, then why was he thrown out? Do you ask yourself that? The simple reason was, he didn't learn to check his nafs. He thought that tasawuf is just making zikr, tilawat, crying, tulada, that's tasawuf. Whereas the essence of tasawuf is his mujahada. You see the sacrifice. Is mujahada ko bardasht karne ke liye paida hua hai. Approximately, you have been born to go through this difficulty. Ab ye insaan ki ye inki iski kharabi hai. Uski kharabi hai, uski badfahmi hai. It's the inability of reasoning correctly that you felt that tasawuf is enjoyment, zikr, look at all enjoyment, right? That's how you misconstrued it. But the whole crux of tasawuf is to go through this difficulty. Go through this pain, go through this difficulty, right? Today is a difficulty, tomorrow is a test, the next day is another trial. Every coming day it's a new trial. And you're going through it, but you're going through it very smoothly. But just the advantage for that person that goes through tasawuf, the whole exercise becomes easy. He's going through a difficulty. But that difficulty becomes enjoyable and easy. Though he's going through a difficulty, but it becomes very, very enjoyable, very easy, right? Now you'll ask me, hey, this is all opposite you're speaking about. One side you're saying, it'll be difficult and this is enjoyable. How can it happen? Now, take an example, right? They tell you, all right, they give you a plane. Plane ride, the chartered plane, full house, all the comfort you can think of, food, comfort, woman, everything, for 1 year we give you, right? And exactly after 1 year, then you'll be sent to prison. With all the torture, Guantanamo Bay for torture. You'll be there until you rot, you'll be there. But for the 1 month, of 1 year, you go and enjoy yourself, do everything. And after that, at the end, this is where you're going to be ending up. This is one person, right? And the second person, you're going through a ride now, it's going to be difficult, you know. You're going through, perhaps by car, you're going to Makkah, or you're going to wherever else, Medina, Munawwar, you're going. And once you land there, then the whole place is yours. You've got a castle, you've got the type of comfort you want to think of and imagine, everything is available. Whether it's a garden, whether it's a park, whether it's a castle, whether it's a swimming pool, whatever you can think of, every type of luxury you'll get there. It's just a right to there. And it will be a non-ending thing. It will continue. So this going in, your enjoyment will be just escalating all the time. But it's just a ride. At the ride will take approximately a month. But after you have accomplished the ride, then you know what you will get? The money of your choice, the investment of your choice, the castle of your choice, the house of your choice. Every perceivable enjoyment, you will get it. I ask you, will the journey be difficult? See, aaj aya, kal aya, aaj aya, kal aya. You're dancing, you're going on the path. Well, you're excited, you're so excited. When it's coming. And then you say, no, it's really worth all the difficulty that I went through, it's really worth it. So it's difficult. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullahi speaks about a youngster. He says, he saw that caravan and he joined them to Hajj. Now Sheikh Saadi says, hey, but the youngster was a different type. Sometimes you see he's singing all to himself, then he's crying, then he's shrieking. Then he's running, then he's going slowly, you know, but hey, different type of behavior. You think sometimes he's mad, what's wrong with this child here, what's wrong with this person here?
What's happening with him? He's reading namaz, very long namaz he's reading. Then he's crying sometimes, then he's shrieking, then he's talking to Allah sometimes. You know, this man is one off, man. What's wrong with this youngster? So, as we entered the Haram Sharif, the Muallim pointed out, Shuf, Haza Baytullah. Look, this is the house of Allah Ta'ala. So this youngster, now you saw the true color of the youngster. He says, To receive Bakua Dilbar, Basipar Dila Mustar. To receive Bakua Dilbar, Basipar Dila Mustar. When you come to the house of the beloved, when you come to the house of the beloved, now offer your best commodity. Your best commodity is your life. Anything else, anything more dearer to you than your life. When you come to the house of the beloved, then offer the best. You know, it was your dream of your life, and you got the dream of your life now. Then what do you think? Let me give her the best. Now this is the dream of dreams, ultimate. You can't think of anything beyond. It's Allah Ta'ala. So when you have come to Allah Ta'ala now, Allah Ta'ala is how you have come. Basipar dil mustar, then that restless soul that was working all its life to reach this point here, now offer that life to Allah Ta'ala. Mabada bara digar narasi, that perhaps you may not get another chance to reach here, to come here. Now offer it. He said these words and he shrieked Allahu Akbar and he just gave his life. So you get this contradictions. The life may be difficult, but the journey when you're going through tasawuf is a journey of love. So when it's a journey of love, that difficulty doesn't seem like difficulty. The hardship doesn't seem like hardship. Azizji Rahmatullahi says, one person was being shambocked, right? Whilst the beloved was around, you know. So who his dreams, the dreams of his life was around and he was being shambocked. One, two, no noise. Came to about the 99th one, and the beloved just went. When she went away, and he said, crying, I can't take the pain now. Now what happened there? That just her sight had consumed him to such a point, that the pain didn't mean anything. I was watching, I was waiting for her. She's come into the picture, the dream of my life. When I saw this, the pain doesn't mean anything. But now when she has disappeared from the scene, oh, it's pain. So to get this Allah Ta'ala into your life. And people misconstrue it. So I'm doing my wazifa, I'm doing my ma'amulat. Very good. Ma'amulat ki pabandi tarakki ka zina hai. All of us will say that to be punctual on all your ma'amulat, whatever the Shaykh has instructed you to be punctual on that, that is the stepping stone to progress. But understand what is the very essence. The essence is mujahada, the difficulty. That is endured for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Every difficulty that you endure for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Mishkat Sharif is a famous hadith. Fima takhtasimu al-mala'u al-a'la. The higher ranking malaika, then what is the competition about? You know, the higher ranking, obviously. As-sabikun. As-sabikun, they are the forerunners. So this is a higher ranking malaika. What are we after? Which deeds they are looking forward to? See, when in the worldly sense, when we speak, then people can relate, right? Say, there's a property going here. You know the returns is 50%. 50% each year, annum each year, with an increase of another 25%. That 50% beginning, entry level 50%, and at the end of each year is 25% increase. It'd be only a madman that will leave it, isn't it? You put all your life long in money inside that. 50%. No way in the world you're going to get this thing here. 50% return. So that is the reward of Allah Ta'ala. It just goes on increase. Fi zillim mamdood. See that shades of Allah Ta'ala. That is continuous, it carries on and on, on and on. It doesn't end. It just goes on. So now you want to bargain for that, you want to aspire for that, then pay the price. Mr. Price, get it. Use him, you pay the price, you get it. Silatullahil ghaliya. The price of Allah, the reward of Allah Ta'ala, he's got a price. Not just left on the street, they just pick it up. No. You pay the price and you will go, you will reach. But there again, he's telling you, right, pay the price. Al Muhammad Ilyas comes with the hadith now. He says, on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala is doing the balancing of all your deeds, right, everything is being balanced, then no person's deed will be in accordance to the greatness, the majesty, the splendor of Allah Ta'ala. Anybody can reach the splendor of Allah Ta'ala, the greatness. Nobody can manage. You know, I was explaining this thing here of Allah Ta'ala. But to understand this concept, take an example, then you'll understand this. I was speaking to my one friend, psychiatrist. So I asked him, can you explain to me what is life? Can you tell me what is death? Can you tell me what is sleep? So no. We can see the symptoms of life. We know the symptoms of death. We know the symptoms of sleeping, right? But what is sleep? What is life? What is death? Nobody can explain it. So I told him exactly the same. You can't explain exactly what Allah Ta'ala is. You know Him, His being. You know His attributes. But your mind is too weak to perceive Allah Ta'ala Himself. When you can't understand yourself, how do you understand Allah Ta'ala? Bhai, tum apne zaat ko samajhte nahi. You're seeing every day, you're seeing life within you, aren't you? You're seeing death around you, don't you see? Don't you see people sleeping? Don't you see that happening? But that you can't give a suitable explanation. So how are you going to understand who's Allah Ta'ala? So some things, in fact, the very essence of things, Allah Ta'ala has made such that it's beyond your perception. That's the very essence. Life is the essence of life. Essence, right? Death is the termination of this essence. Dream is a satisfaction for the soul, for the body, for the soul, right? And all these things you can't see. Person can't get sleep, how much he won't spend just to get that sleep. Satisfaction of the mind, right? That is the reason for all the effort that you did. Satisfaction, I must get satisfaction. But what is satisfaction? Can you give me an explanation? Can you show me what it is? When you're doing something, you want to progress, etc., you use your mind and intelligence, right? Without the intelligence, you're nothing. You're a non-entity without intelligence, right? But can you show me intelligence? So the essence of all things, Allah Ta'ala has blocked away. You can't see it. You can't see intelligence, you can't see satisfaction, you can't see sleep, you can't see life, you can't see death. So when you can't see that, then the essence of all the essence is Allah Ta'ala Himself. Then it's beyond your perception. You don't know what Allah Ta'ala is. Yes, you'll know His attributes, you'll know His being, just remain there. Iyakum wal-ghulu fid-deen. Iyakum wal-ta'ammuq. Just remain at your level. Don't try and go beyond. Allah Ta'ala said, do this, don't do this, just remain like that. But now why this and why not like that? And that's not your territory, it's not your domain. So just leave that out. Go into your domain. Yeah, what must I do? What have I left out? Where have I fallen short? I do that. But Allah Ta'ala has blocked a certain area from me, and let's keep it blocked. Do you know what's meaning of Alif Lam Mim? Anybody knows? Because He's blocked it away. Why He's blocked it away? To show you, to impress upon you, that a lot of things will be there, I will block away. I won't show it to you. So just remain like that. Don't go beyond that. You try and discover that, and you went wrong. You destroyed yourself. You brought destruction to yourself. So He's blocked it off, just leave it like that. So, we are talking of the Tasawwuf and some of the goals of the Tasawwuf. And we spoke about the difficulty that you endure. This is the very essence of the Tasawwuf, that you go through difficulty. So, where you begin to think that this life is a bed of roses, is comfort, enjoyment, then this is the beginning of depression. This is the beginning of despondency. Because Allah Ta'ala is the reason He's saying life is something else. And you say, no, life is a bed of comfort, enjoyment, perpetual comfort, etc. And then when you see disaster, can you get to terms with it? Can you relate to it? You can't. Hey, I thought this was life. Then you saw difficulty, pain, death, disaster, loss. Now you can't handle it because you dreamt of life in a different way. You thought this is what life is going to offer you. And it didn't turn out. When it didn't turn out, what happened to you? You're in a total disaster. You're in despondency. But Allah Pak spelled it out to you. This is life. You'll have to endure difficulty, pain, hardship. But when you're going to be doing for me, then I will give you the necessary amount of endurance. You're going to do it. You'll go through some sacrifice, learn how to endure. When you learned it, then you'll find enjoyment in it. You'll endure, but the endurance will come with an enjoyment. The endurance will come, but with ease, you'll manage it comfortably. Now look at the Islam at the beginning until the end, difficulty. Right. Nabi Sam is resting at the Kaaba Sharif. Right. And whilst he's resting there, one person comes up and says, Allah tad'ulana, Ya Nabi Allah, won't you make dua for us? So Nabi Sam was resting, he got up. Muhmarran wajhuhu, his face turned color. Disappointed at the question. What type of a question you ask me? He says, in the past a man would be brought up just because of his iman, just because of his stance on the truth, just because of him being honest to Allah Ta'ala and true to Allah Ta'ala, he was brought up. A saw is taken and he sliced into two. Nothing will deter him for an inch or so away from his iman. His allegiance to Allah Ta'ala is so great, so strong, nothing will deter him. And imagine now, a human being, you call in and a saw is brought in. Olden days saw, you know, how long it will take? Now you've got this band saw, one shot you'll cut through it through, right? But the olden days, suffering. From the head right to the toe, two pieces. Nothing will deter him. For a second also, no, I can take my life, but my allegiance is my Allah Ta'ala. My love is for him. You can do as you please. Now a little bit of sacrifice comes your way, and you can't take it on. Small little things come on your way, you can't take it. Too much big things, but small little things come in your way, and you can't take it on. The little small dirty phone you got, in a day, how many wrong things don't you see? I know I was Googling or looking for something from Islamic side, but I think just popped up. But I asked you, the thing that popped up was halal or haram? Whereas haram, doesn't it interfere, doesn't it interrupt your life with Allah Ta'ala? That what came up, doesn't it catch your heart? Doesn't it catch your mind? And doesn't it leave a mark in your mind? Doesn't it leave a mark into your heart? So not by accident. Accident, right? Driving motor car. Your child says you got a brand new Ferrari. An accident happened. You will give him your keys again. Maybe you give him second time, third time, you know, but you just leave it. Making accident all the time. It's no guna, but you just leave it. Your eyes making accident all the time. Your heart is making accident all the time. The heart will become irreparable just now. Now your love for Allah Ta'ala is so weak that for the sake of Allah Ta'ala you can't say for a moment, let me discard this. And then you will talk about the Sahaba Ikram. Are you anywhere near them? You see, this tasawwur they're talking of, this is what they're talking of. Make that mujahada. It's going to be difficult, but you want to go up. The zikr etc. is just a complement. It's just an assistant. The very essence is this. This is an assistant. What destroyed shaitan was this? That nafs. The nafs didn't want to give up. Didn't want to give up. And people feel it's an easy thing, but you have to go through an exercise to get the discipline of this nafs. You have to go through an exercise. The three main problems on the nafs, woman, wealth, and number three is reputation. What? Woman, wealth, and your reputation. Log kya kahenge? Handa hu ke hai bhai. Hadisa bhi nahi aawa prata. Vyatya bhi nahi aawa. To izzat mein hota hai. That reputation. What? Woman, wealth, and reputation. That's the three things. These are three things that the soul works on. Not too many things. Three points they work on.